It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, I'm sorry I'm a bit early on the program this morning.
No, that's all good.
I've got to go down and open the old Chief Post Office building, which from this afternoon will again be the main entrance to the Britomart train station.
Awesome.
So that's a pretty big move. We had to lift that building up. It weighs 14,000 tonnes. It had to be lifted up as a whole, evenly, obviously, across the base, in order to put new foundations in and put the tunnels underneath. So, a big day for Auckland.
A big day for Auckland. Let's talk about a big train moment for Auckland as well. I want to talk a wee bit about light rail, but we should acknowledge that the first commuter train from Hamilton to Tamaki is happening this morning, which is pretty exciting stuff, and hopefully maybe the start of a new kind of direction for our transport in Tamaki Makaurau. We've also heard some big announcements around light rail and the government kind of getting a bit more involved in the last couple of days. What's it basically going to mean from this point? Because there's been this kind of bit of a stalemate on light rail for a long time in this city.
Yeah, look, it's well overdue. We were expecting it earlier, and I think with opposition from New Zealand First and then a diversion down to see whether they were going to run it as a public-private partnership funded by a Montreal super scheme and our own New Zealand super, and that held it up. So we are really looking forward to getting some progress made on it. And what the Minister, Michael Wood, has announced is that there will be a six-month period during which time, almost immediately, an establishment unit will be set up. It will make decisions such as the mode of the travel, whether it's a metro or light rail, so whether it's underground or on the ground, which route it will take, which is, I think, essentially between Dominion Road and Sandringham Road. It will also consult and engage with the community. So even though central government's paying for this, and it'll be many billions of dollars, it will be the sponsors, like with City Rail Link, will be the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Transport, the Mayor and the Deputy Mayor. And then there'll be engagement with iwi, there'll be engagement with local communities, just to work through the process. Mm. And by the end of the year, hopefully, everything will be ready to go. And why is that so important? Well, it's going to, with the huge housing growth in Mount Roskill and in Mungaree, it means it'll reduce traffic congestion. It will make it possible for people to get around their city. It will support housing development all the way down the route, so there'll be more intensive housing around where light rail will go. It reduces carbon emissions. And, at the end of the day, too, as well as going to Mungaree and to the Mungaree Employment District, which is huge around the airport, it will, of course, be an alternative route to the airport as well. So really good news that's happening.
Yeah, it is. I think it is good news. But there is a little bit of hesitation, particularly around, we've been talking about Mungaree and around some of the Māori urban authorities there, just wanting to make sure that the communities that are already existing in Mungaree are not going to get overwhelmed by the potential for influx of gentrification into that area that that public transport can bring, which is, not always completely a black and white situation. But how are those authorities going to be involved in this process? What's the consultation and what's the, transparency for those authorities to have some sort of input into this?
Well, a lot of transparency, because if you go down, for example, go down Beta Drive at the moment, and you see the replacement of what were little boxes actually built in the 1960s by the then government, with more intensive but good quality homes, well insulated, warm. I went to one there where they've replaced five houses with 62 different units. They've got a fenced off play area in the middle. They've got a barbecue area. They've got a room for social occasions or a homework study for the kids in the block. It's really good. And so the point I'm making here is that's all Housing New Zealand, mm-hmm. or now Kianga Ora. So it's not a case of gentrification. A lot of those replacement houses will be social housing, but there'll be an intermingling with private housing as well, because you're not wanting to create just a suburb that's all social housing or just a suburb that's all private housing. There'll be a mixture of housing types, but I don't think And there will be consultation, obviously, with Pacifica. There'll be a consultation with Māori.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you have to worry that those areas will simply become new extensions, forcing lower income and particularly brown people further south. I think you will see a big involvement of housing, social housing in these areas.
I guess the concern that seems to be raised by these authorities is what is there going to be an official role for them, I guess, in this conversation that maybe hasn't been established yet. Is that something that we can expect to see for those authorities?
Yeah, there'll be particularly there'll be a specific issue to go out and to consult with iwi authorities. That's part of the blueprint that's announced by the minister. There'll be consultation with the local communities, and local communities will have mixed views. Some people will say, "Oh, it's more disruption," but if we don't have the disruption of building a light rail, we'll have the disruption mm-hmm. of gridlocked roads, and nobody wants that. If you look at the intensification of housing, 12,000 more houses going into Mount Roskill, about 10,000 more into Mangere. This is huge growth, more housing around Onehunga. If you go in any of those areas, and I drive through and visit people in there quite often, you'll just see how many extra people we are moving into that area because we don't want the city to sprawl. You talked about Tahuia, the railway line to Hamilton. We actually don't want Auckland to be a suburban sprawl mm-hmm. all the way to Hamilton. That would be a disaster too.
Well, let's talk, I'm just conscious of the time, so let's just talk a little bit about the ports of Auckland, which we did touch base with you last week, and then of course you had your press stand-up where you put forward, I guess, a more formal position on the health and safety practices at the ports of Auckland. What are you expecting to see actioned immediately or in the very near future from this?
Well, I needed an acknowledgement by ports, which they hadn't made previously, that there was a poor culture of health and safety on the wharves, and I needed a total commitment to fully implementing the recommendations of the review team. I ordered the review. It was an unusual step. Usually shareholders don't order reviews into operational matters, but I did it because I knew there was a problem with health and safety. How could you not know that when three people had died down there in as many years? The review confirmed my views about that. They've set out a blow-by-blow work plan for the ports of Auckland to put into place to make sure that there is a safe working environment there. I will be holding the board of Ports of Auckland to account to implement that,
and they will be
holding the chief executive to account.
Will you be expecting resignations over this? Three deaths in 3 years, you know, that is beyond sense of acceptable.
What we are doing is that we are progressively replacing the board of Ports of Auckland. So one of the people that I put on the board back in February was a woman called Hazel Armstrong, who's probably the foremost health and safety lawyer in New Zealand. She is a strong woman, particularly focused on health and safety, and she'll be like a Rottweiler to ensure that these changes are implemented. So we are making those changes now, because the status quo and what has gone before us wasn't acceptable to me. And as far as I can go as a shareholder, stopped from implementing anything, operational changes. I can't force operational changes because of the Ports Companies Act, but I can change the board, and I'm in the process of changing that board.
Very briefly before we let you go, I just wanted to talk very quickly about a nursing shortage that we're seeing at the Waitemata DHB, and what's happening here to ensure that this is, I guess, getting resolved, because we're seeing operations are being postponed and it's becoming a bit of a backlog issue there. We might have more time to touch base on this in length later down the track, but just briefly, what's happening right now to make sure that that's being resolved?
Well, it is a concern because in over January, February, 42 operating sessions weren't able to go ahead because of staff shortage. They are now doing probably the biggest ever recruitment of nurses, and in particular theatre nurses. They've just recruited 13 new theatre nurses. Two have started already. And that's really important. They say they've lost a lot of staff. which is curious because, you know, I think it was last year, there was a big wage increase for nurses, much overdue, that the government implemented. But, you know, it's not a satisfactory situation when operations have to be postponed because you don't have enough nurses in the operating theatre to allow the operation.
So what is stopping people from getting into these roles?
There's probably a mixture of things. We need to train more nurses, and I hope that we're in the process of doing that. And of course, we recruit a lot of nurses from overseas. But the first thing you've got to do is make sure that it's a demanding job, probably a very satisfying job as well. But you've got to make sure that people are paid enough to do the job and to want to get into the job. And that seems to me to be an obvious place where you start by upskilling New Zealanders, Aucklanders in this case. But where you have to, you supplement that with bringing people in from overseas. And anybody that's visited a hospital will know what a multicultural place hospitals are: doctors, nurses, and patients. We simply need to make sure that these are elective surgery, so probably not life-threatening, but certainly pain-inducing.
Mm.
You don't want to have a delay, and probably some of that delay, I'm not sure, but I'm speculating on this, some of that delay goes back to lockdown when those operations were suspended. So there would have been a backlog from those, 7 weeks under level four that we had.
Mm. Well, we might have to wrap it up there, but thank you so much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's always a pleasure, a little bit earlier than usual, but enjoy opening the Britomart station.
But it dawn was an hour earlier, so
it was,
feels
yes.
good.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Ka kite.
Okay, ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.